I'm James, and this is The Stage Right Side with James Whiteside, where we'll dive deep into the dark world of dance and come up on the bright side. Oh, that's terrible.
Welcome back to The Stage Right Side with James Whiteside. I am your host, ABT principal dancer James Whiteside, and I am joined today by Royal Ballet First Soloist Beatrice Styx Brunel. How'd I do on pronunciation?
It was perfection.
Yeah. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm really good. I just did class, and I took a really nice walk along the water. And other than that, you know, not much else going on over here.
And you are in Miami or something?
I'm in Miami right now. Yeah, I'm in Miami, Florida, and I'll be going back to London very soon. But I've been quarantined here with my family.
Okay, well, we'll get back to your family because I have things to discuss.
So, I'm sure you do.
Can we get through the ABCs of Beatrice? Where you're from, how you got into Royal, just a quick blast through for people who unfortunately don't know you yet.
Yes. So I'm originally from Miami, actually, but I grew up in New York City. And I trained at the School of American Ballet, at Paris Opera Ballet School. And then I joined Christopher Wheeldon's company, Morphosis, when I was 14. And then from there, I went to, I auditioned for Royal Ballet, and I got into the Royal Ballet. And I moved there when I was 17, and the rest is history. So
Wow! You started working early.
Yeah, I started grinding quite soon. But
what sort of effect do you think that has had on your personality and your work life and just the way you exist as a human?
I think as a dancer, you naturally grow up very quickly because you know. Right off the bat, it requires a certain level of discipline and focus and passion. You obviously can't do it without having an intense drive for it. But then when you join a company, it was quite small, but I was dancing with, you know, principals from all around the world, like Edward Watson and Wendy Whalen and Leanne Benjamin and Maria Karowski, and working very, very closely with Christopher Wheeldon. That was the first time I had worked with a choreographer one-on-one and having work created on me. And we toured, you know, we toured to Colorado, we toured to Australia, we toured to London. We had, you know, our little seasons everywhere. So I'd go, you know, I'd have to do my schoolwork on Skype and do that kind of long distance when we were on tour. And then,
you know, Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you just quickly say when I was younger, I thought that dancers, like ballet dancers, grew up super fast. But then as I get older, I realize that we're kind of all stunted. We're always forever 14 in a way, even though we got this sort of like adulthood 101 stuff out of the way really soon. Do you agree or no?
In a way, because I think it's a bubble of a life, and your career path from a very young age is so driven on one thing that can happen very easily. But I think the most important thing out of all of that is to stay in school, to stay in academic school, because when you have that normalcy of kind of working your brain like a normal kid and then teenager, and being around people who aren't, you know, completely obsessed by the world of dance and have other interests and you can have other conversations. I think that's a really healthy way of staying grounded and also having something else in your life to that you need to work just as hard at in order to succeed and to have that going forward and growing up, because life is very long. And this career is very short, and you never know, you know, when it could suddenly end or when you might burn out and you want to try something else. Or, you know, I think it's just important to have that other side continuing to develop, because I think dance just it really develops one side of our
it's existence. A bulldozer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So for any parents listening to this, I want you to heed Bee's warning there. I wish I had tried a little bit harder in school. I really just, once I found dance, I said, you know, screw that. I know I shall have nothing to do with such a thing, and just focused on dance. But, you know, YOLO.
That's true. But look where you are now, too. It's the same thing. It's like it's incredible that we have a calling, because a lot of people don't know sometimes what they want to do. So we're lucky that we have that calling right away off the bat. We know where we want to go and what we want to do.
Amen.
But it's never a straightforward path, you know? And you just have to kind of be prepared for different eventualities.
One of my friends, instead of saying, like, go straight or straightforward, he'll say gaily forward. He'll be like, you go gaily forward and then take a right.
I'm going to use that from now on.
I live for this delay right now. The delay like, where I tell like a joke the, and it's know, like crickets for...
Right. It's like a weather report where
a little spooky,
I have a mic,
you know,
and I'm like...
I have to be honest, I'm sitting in the solarium of my boyfriend's parents' home. So it's his like childhood home. And there's a big window that's very beautiful. There are plants all around me and I'm living. But there is this one robin, which is generally a very beautiful bird, but it is trying to go through these mirrors that are outside, like by these planters. It thinks like it has to get into those mirrors. And it's just for the last like 4 to 5 days, it's been gathering twigs and trying to like bang through the mirrors to find Narnia or something to build a nest. And I'll just see flashes of light reflected off its wings, and it's very distracting, and I'm concerned for it.
I feel a kinship with that robin, because I think my parents want to lock me out of their beautiful floor-to-ceiling windows, and I'm like trying to get back in. I'm like, hello?
Wait, okay, so we'll get back to your ABCs. I want to talk about your parents. Everyone absolutely should be following Beatrice. Her Instagram name is @bsticks_brunel with 2 L's. @bsticks_brunel. Her antics mixed with high art are truly a revelation, and I really appreciate your voice. But she's terrorizing her parents in quarantine, like fully terrorizing her parents. Her father was working on the computer the other day, and she just prepared her video on Instagram and just threw a ballet shoe at his head. And it brought me joy. That's parent-child relationships. That's goals.
Yeah, look, all I'm going to say is that they've had a 10-year hiatus of having me at home. So... You know, he can quit his whining. Like, I've been away for 10 years. If I'm back, I have to fulfill these daughterly duties, you know? Like, I have stuff to do.
Uh-huh.
We have lost time to make up for, so.
You have trauma to induce. And they seem...
Exactly right.
They seem really gifted in the disinfectant area. Like, they are really fastidious when it comes to cleaning and such. Oh no, I'm gonna sneeze.
Oh.
Bless me.
God bless. God bless.
Why, thank you.
He did it. He did it, everyone. the whole apartment. I mean, I've actually asked what the deal is with the cleaning thing. And every day we walk into the apartment and my mom goes, she goes, oh, isn't it just lovely to walk into a clean place? And I'm like, no, it's actually, like, I appreciate it less because I know the amount of work that's going into it. I see the behind the scenes. Like, and also it can't get any cleaner. What are you cleaning every day? You just cleaned it, you know? But yeah. It'll rub off on me. Watch.
That is the most unrelatable thing ever.
I'm going to go home to London and I'm going to turn into that. And I'm going to do Instagram lives with it. So get ready for that.
The I'm gloves. Cleaning yeah. my phone. okay, so back to your ABCs. After Morphosis, yeah. then where to? Royal Ballet
after
School?
Morphosis, no, I didn't go to the Royal Ballet School. I went, I joined the company. So the director at the time had, Monica Mason, had seen me performing at Sadler's Wells when we did one of our seasons at Sadler's Wells in London. And I had actually, Leanne Benjamin had let me come and take class at with the company at the Royal Ballet. And I absolutely loved the company. It was the whole, I mean, it was the first time I'd been in a room with, you know, over 90 dancers in a company class. And I was really young at the time, but it opened my eyes to that real world of dance and how beautiful the facilities were at the Royal Opera House. I thought this is definitely where I'd like to end up. And when it came time to choosing a company, I got in touch with Monica and she had remembered me from when I had toured to Sadler's Wells, and it was the best decision and the luckiest thing for me. So yeah, I've been there 10
Amazing.
Years now.
That is ideal.
Yeah.
Can I tell a quick story
it
about
Monica?
It is
ideal, yeah. Yes. Let's hear it.
I live for the lag. The lag is incredible. So
I wonder if it's my Wi-Fi.
I was
Wait,
in
should
London.
Should I switch off my Wi-Fi and try?
Go on 3G.
Am I going to lose you?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm not switch off your Wi-Fi. Let's see what happens. And if you do, you call back in. It's, who cares? We can edit it to be beautiful. All right. My fingers crossed, y'all. Is it going to work? Well, it appears like it might not work.
I'm back.
Hey. Oh, great.
Is it?
I think it is.
Okay, good.
All right, sweet. Let's keep moving. Okay. Oh, Ed's here. Hi, Ed. Okay, moving right along. So I was in London. I was working with Marianella because she was guesting with ABT, and I asked to go see the show that night, and it was a performance of, like, Song of the Earth. Is that a ballet? Mm-hmm. That's an Ashton moment?
Yeah. That's Macmillan, Song of the Earth.
Oh, it's Macmillan. All right. Well, whoops. Whoa.
You were close.
My ignorance is always impressive.
No, it was one British choreographer or the other. It was a toss-up, 50-50.
And I sat down, and I'm sitting next to Monica. And she was so kind, so sweet, but I was, you know, a little, I don't know, she's domineering in the best way.
Yeah. And she's intimidating.
She's a really powerful, confident, fabulous lady. She opens up her handbag and she takes out a coin purse, a fabric, like a velvet coin purse. And she starts fiddling with it and she pops it open. And she leans over to me and says, "Do you want a sweetie?" and I look in the bag and it's full of just like loose powdery candies, like candy balls, but like powdered and just no wrappers, just like a fabric bag of like dry candies. It was really
unrelatable. Now be like Corona Central.
Oh my God, reaching my like grubby mitt in there, being like, "Yeah, I'll take a sweetie," you know?
I love how that's so Monica, sweetie. It's not a sweet, it's a sweetie.
You want a sweetie? I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. I've made it. oh gosh. All right, so 10 years, 10 years in Royal Ballet. Wait, how old are you, may I ask?
Yeah. Right now, I'm 27 years old.
27. You know, people always say not to ask people their age, but I think that's bullshit because...
We're all friends here.
We all poop, you know, like, who cares? And when I first met you, you were dating one of my friends, Corey Stearns, in American Ballet Theater, who's a principal in ABT. And he and I are dressing roommates. Tell me a little bit about that. Give me the 100 word version of how it all began with Corey.
We had danced together at the Vail International Dance Festival. And that must have been maybe 2 years after I had joined the Royal Ballet. And then he came to guest with the company to do the Nutcracker a year or two later. And that's how we had reconnected. And I guess because everyone who, you know, who's from New York or knows the ballet circles in New York, kind of everyone knows everyone. So I knew a lot of dancers from ABT and he had gone to Royal Ballet School. So he knew a lot of dancers from the Royal Ballet School. And, that's how that started up.
Can we just talk about intra-company dating and just your thoughts on it? I experimented with dating a coworker in my early 20s to much disaster. I want to hear your thoughts.
I think dating dancers, like dancer to dancer, I think you either want to do that or you don't want to do that. And whether it's someone from your company or someone from another company, you know, the dance world is very full on. So you always kind of bring, I think everyone ends up bringing their, even if you try to switch off, everyone ends up bringing part of their work home. And it's very, you know, it's dance all day. So I think either people like to dance within to date within the dance world, or they don't.
I like to dance within the date world. Cool.
That's
cool.
So niche, James. but it happens all the time. I mean, it doesn't matter what, anywhere around the world, you see big partnerships within the dance community and amongst the dancers, whether they're, you know, a principal dancer with a core member or a soloist with a soloist I mean, no matter what rank you are, you know, I think it's also, it could be a comfort thing as well. You know, you're with each other.
What do you mean, no matter what rank? I'm confused.
No, well, sometimes people are like, you know, it could be a younger member of the company dating someone who's been there forever.
Oh.
You know, that happens all the time. I mean, we see that all the time. Or someone brand new to the company dating someone who's been there for years and years and years. Mm.
When the cuties roll in, LOL.
When the cuties roll in. but I think sometimes it can be, you know, every dancer knows their schedule and the physical demand of the work and the fatigue. And I think sometimes maybe people feel more comfortable when they are with someone who also knows the rigors of that life.
And what's your stance regarding dating a dancer? What do you prefer?
Well, I have the most gorgeous boyfriend now who is in private equity. Shout out to Sammy. I love you.
Love you, Sammy. Oh my boy.
He's an Australian. And he's been living in London for 4 years and it's the happiest I've been. So
that's amazing. I'm happy to hear that.
Thank you.
Can I inspire you to try out your Australian accent on me?
Yes. Let me get ready. Hello, it's a beautiful day today.
Whoa. Oh my God. My name is James Whiteside, and I like to put coffee in my cup. Hello.
Do you think, hello, coffee in my cup?
Coffee in my cup. It's
you're,
not great.
You're really good at accents, though. It's actually pretty good.
Oh, no, that was
good.
Terrible. My friend
I mean, you
wrote...
you just need to like, brush up a little bit.
Okay, wait, I need a really, like, a phrase I practice with is
yeah.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? Scarby-Darby-Dar.
Okay, so...
We are yar.
So, there are R's in there, aren't there? It's like, Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you?
Oh my god, that's good. Okay, mine's like, I'm literally saying, it was good. It was good. I say like Scarby Darby Dar War R Yar. Scarby Darby Dar. We all yar. We got some work. Well, how do you do we got some work?
We've got some work to do now.
Oh, we've got some work. That was good, yeah. We've got some work to do now.
I'm gonna ask my boyfriend to give a rundown of that. I'll get back.
I need Rosetta Stone for the accent.
I know.
Okay.
You can do it now. You have nothing else to do, right? We have no excuse.
Honestly, being unemployed is really busy. Like, I don't have a job yet. I have a lot of things I've forced myself to get up to. Like, I mean, I really enjoy talking, like, these are really fun because I get to actually know the people that I've known for 100 years, you know what I mean?
And
the ballet classes that Bella and I are doing, the Cindy's ballet class, is legit.
They're so good.
Like, giving me a reason to keep dancing. I'm concerned that if I didn't do those with her, I just would sit on my butt. Yeah. So that.
Those are excellent, by the way.
Why, thank you. They're the fun girl version of a ballet class.
I think we all need a fun girl version of a ballet class, though. You know what I mean? Especially right now.
Like, I live for the phrase now more than ever. If I hear now more than ever, like, anymore.
It couldn't be more true, though, you know?
Now more than ever, I need a pizza. Now more than ever.
I think for me, it's like now more than ever, I need to watch my neighbors, you know?
They get up to some antics. Oh my God.
I didn't film this the other day, but I saw some pretty shady things going on across the way.
Tell me more. Explicit?
I don't know. Should I tell you?
Was it murder? Did you witness a murder?
No. We're going the other way. It was like lab dance central.
Well, that doesn't seem very distancia.
That's not social distancia in any way, shape, or form. I was like, I need actually more distance from this because it's so in my face, you know?
So, but, as she zooms in on her phone.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, can you do it one more time? Let's do that one again.
Pop it once more, please. Okay, so...
I was like, is this happening to me?
Yeah, you're asking for a friend. There's the bird again. The bird is carrying a twig in its mouth and just attacking the mirror with its wings flapping.
The is that your bird back and beyond?
It's bird back. Did you enjoy Shannon Bobannon, who fires news like a cannon?
I love Shannon Bobannon. She's excellent. I especially love her makeup.
Well, I should do a tutorial at some point for one of my makeup videos.
Yeah, I would be.
I want to see you wearing Shannon Bobannon's makeup.
Okay, actually, maybe I'll take a selfie for you, only for you though, and then put it on Instagram Live.
Exactly. There we go. There it is. Okay, back to task here.
There she is.
What are you doing to stay creatively involved besides your incredible television show that I basically watch on your Instagram?
So I have always written poetry. I've always loved writing poetry. I've always loved writing in general. And that's something that I noticed. It might sound a little bit cheesy, but my parents are very fortunate to have this beautiful view of the ocean. And I have a little balcony right outside my room. And if I'm up really early in the morning at around, you know, 7, the sun is just coming up. And that's prime time for just sitting on that little balcony and writing and enjoying the sound of the water and watching the sun come up and see, and you can really see, I don't know, it just is really, it's inspiring, and it's not something that I ever get to see on a day-to-day basis. So I'm just trying to enjoy those little moments and see what they do for me and for my head. And that's something that I've been really enjoying at the moment.
That's fabulous. As far as writing poetry, what do the topics generally range from?
Literally anything. But I love it's for me, I love the challenge of really having to make it rhyme. I find that within it's a constraint. You have limited options for every line that you put down. So if I can get my points across and have it sound beautiful, or try to have it sound beautiful, or try to give it some rhythm and some method, then I really, that's like a little challenge that I put for myself. But topic-wise, it can be anything.
Do you ever write humorous limericks?
No, never, actually.
I feel like you'd be great.
I've never tried writing anything funny.
You should pretend you're like doing a rap or something, and then your comedy
like
poetry will flow.
Yeah. My comedy slam poetry. But it's funny because that's where when I write, that's where the serious side of B comes out onto the page, I think.
Do you have plans to share any of these poems?
Well, actually, a lot of the posts that I do, I put in a little poem if it's if I feel inclined to do so. So that's one way of sharing. But I've never, like, the poetry that I've written for myself on my own, you know, on my own time and on my own terms, I haven't shared yet. Maybe that's within the next few months of quarantine to the book.
Okay, well, in an effort to keep this tight and right, I'm going to open up some questions to our viewers right now. There's a little box at the bottom you can ask, questions. So go ahead and do that if anyone wants to. So one person asked, Beatriz, what is your heritage? With a emoji.
So my mom is from Colombia, South America, and my dad is German-American.
Cool.
So that's my mix.
Do you speak any other languages?
I do. I speak Spanish, I speak French, and I speak Australian.
Oh, yes, you do. okay. All right. Aiden says, get B to quote Bridesmaids. All right, give us your best Bridesmaids quote.
Come on, Carol, get your shit together, Carol.
Two Carols.
Two Carols in there, yeah.
Ed has a good one. Beatriz, why are you such a spiteful little cat?
So that's a good question. Considering Tiger King now, I feel like it's very relevant. We have this ongoing joke where everything with Ed, everything is spiteful. It can be like we can be in the middle of bar and he'd be like, "That step is spiteful." It's just a tondu. We cry laughing. I don't have an answer for you, Eddie. It's just inherent.
Okay, Haskatania asks, what's niche? and it's got quotes around it. N-E-E-S-H. What is that?
N-I-C-H-E. So
No, it's not spelled like that. She's spelled it with quotes. N-E-E-S-H. Uh-oh. Is it a thing?
I don't know what that one is. I don't know N-E-E-S-H, but N-I-C-H-E. It's something that I think maybe has rubbed off on me from my guy, Sam. But the best way I can describe it is the other day when I was doing the gibberish game. You know, that new game that's trending that the kids are playing these days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
So it was Mormon Tabernacle Choir, which I didn't get. And I was like, of all of the sayings that could be trending on the internet right now, why would you put Mormon Tabernacle Choir? And then I was like, that is its own category all on its own.
Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Yeah, I was like, sure. What?
Okay, we can play that game right now. We can play that game right now, which is just genius. All right, let's see if it works. Okay, it's not.
Wait, how are we going to do this?
I don't know. I'm trying. If I hold it, maybe. What do I do now?
Oh my God. Wait, yeah.
Do you see it? But I don't know how to make it go. Yeah.
But now it's frozen.
Do I have to hold somewhere? Do something? Well, that's unfortunate. Let's see what else can I do.
That would be really funny. So why are you frozen on my channel?
Did it work now? Hello. This is my Australian face. So for those listening at home right now, I've doubled my screen and I look rather warped. And my name is Chuck.
What's your name?
Chuck.
Chuck? Chuck. Chuck? Wow, your face is so wide. It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything
Chuck,
like this.
And I like to walk around in the sand.
I think you're getting to New Zealand now. You're going Kiwi.
Maybe this is the best choice. Cool. Now I've completely refused. I've refused my nose. Okay, we're devolving here. Hey. Okay.
Wait, I have a cramp. I have a cramp. Hold on.
All right, well, now I have a face in which my eyebrows look as though they've been feathered and pulled. My eyes have been smashed down, and my nose is tucking away into my mouth. Ah, this is a joy.
You look like the robin that's outside the window, probably.
I have truly become what I loathe. Okay, this must end.
I'm crying.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
Oh my God, that was heaven.
Hi. Hey, Chuck.
Back to the questions. All right, Gracie asks, what's your favorite dance film?
Wait, as in, okay, so dance film as in actual dancers that I love and respect, or?
Hollywood, do Hollywood.
All right, well, I think it's going to have to be either Center Stage, Can't Go Wrong, or Turning Point.
Those are the perfect choices. Perfect.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Also, I mean, Center Stage, because it has every element of comedy, drama, and dancer life. And then Turning Point, because there's something quite beautiful about it. But then there's also this film, actually, I forgot about it, called Dancers, with Baryshnikov and Julie Kent and Alessandra Ferri. I don't know if you've seen it.
That's amazing. But it also, like, it's not good. Like, I think Center Stage is, like, objectively, like, good for what it is. Whereas Dancers is, like, amazing, like, in a sort of oops way.
That's a perfect, the oops way is a perfect way to put it. Yeah,
it's showgirls. It's showgirls for ballet.
Showgirls is so good.
I feel like I literally bring up showgirls in every podcast recording. So that's really indicative of what's happening. It really applies to pretty much any situation I'm in.
On stage or off?
Oh, this is an interesting question. Sarah asks, how do female dancers perceive pregnancy in their profession? And what are your thoughts?
Oh, that is a good question. That's actually a question that a lot of people don't understand. A lot of non-dancers don't understand in the dance world. They think that if you're a dancer, that you either have to quit to have a baby or that you can't have a baby. But they don't actually understand that it's those times for the people, for the women who want to have children in their throughout their career, those times that at least the people that I've spoken to are actually the most blossoming times in their career, because they always say that they come back to the stage better than when they were on stage, you know, pre-child, because than when they left. Because I think that it's obviously literally a new life, not only that they've created, but that they're entering into with a different set of priorities. And you realize, obviously we realize what our bodies can do on a day-to-day basis. I mean, it's pretty extreme, the things that we go through. But then I think as a woman, when you have a child and you see the non-artistic side of what you can create, that kind of gives you a new lease on life, I think, and a new outlook for your own profession, and to see how you can bounce back and emotionally how you can connect to roles. So I think those things are a blessing in your career for people who want to have children.
Absolutely. And, you know, I always find that the people I gravitate toward watching on stage are the ones with the most experience and the most life experience. So,
yeah.
I mean, once you have a kid, that is like the major trump card, you know?
Yeah.
That is knowledge and wisdom, and it's just a fascinating facet of this beautiful creature. That being said, are you interested in having children?
Yes, I think I would love to have a family.
How many families? LOL.
I love how you insert LOL in there.
Well, just so you know where I'm coming from.
That's a great question. I am one of two, and I've always loved having a sibling. I have an older brother, and we grew up super, super close. So I would definitely want to have, I think, more than one. Mm. I don't know if I'd be able to have multiple little terrors running around, but I would want one of them to have a companion.
Yeah, that is sensible. I keep thinking to myself, do you listen to The Daily, the New York Times podcast? No, The Daily?
No, I've heard a few of them, but I don't listen to it on The Daily.
Well, it's informative, but it also is vaguely irritating, and I'm confused and conflicted because I find myself mimicking Michael Barbaro, the host's guttural utterances.
Can I hear?
So he'll be like, I don't sound anything like him, thankfully. Even though he's clearly very intelligent, blah blah blah. I'm not just gonna like trash talk Michael Barbaro. I quite like him, but he does this thing where to telegraph that he's listening or to telegraph that something was meant to be poignant. Like, you can say anything. Give me, like, a very short sentence.
I love palm trees in the wind.
Mm. Do it again. Do it again.
The same sentence?
Anything else? Anything?
Okay. The water today looks like blue crystals.
Huh.
How, so yeah, that's just so rude, right?
it's so strange, but also I totally get it, and I find myself being like, you know, and I'm like, God damn it. It makes sense. It's logical.
You're like, stop it, Michael.
Stop it, Michael. No. All right. So last question from Shale. Oh, hi, yeah. Shale. Is Hilaire.
Hi, Shale.
What are your guys' favorite TV show, ATM? All right. What's your favorite show right now?
So I just finished watching, and then I'm currently watching something else, but they have to do the same thing. One of them is Unorthodox on Netflix.
I've heard great things.
And then Shethel on Netflix. Great. Yeah, it's really good. It's basically about the Orthodox community, and Unorthodox, the series, is about this girl who is completely oppressed within her community, and she's a creative soul. She's, you know, she wants to play the piano, and she's a singer, but she's just stuck in this life that she was not meant to be stuck in, and it's how she tries to break out. And then Shtetl is another creative soul within his within the Orthodox community that is just rebelling in his own little way and fighting against these rules and regulations and traditions that are just keeping him stifled. And they're both great because they're about creativity within a world that's not supportive.
Wow. Sounds fabulous. I've heard great things about Unorthodox. I'm going to watch it at some point. All right. I have one final question for you. So you are a very free-spirited, humorous, and self-aware presence. How do you feel that affects the sort of high art mystique of the ballerina?
That's a very good question. So in general, I feel that non-dancers know very little about our world. They come to see a performance and they see the near perfection side of things. And you know, they're moved, and it's an event. Coming to see a show is an event. At the same time, there's a big barrier between the audience member and the performer. And what people don't see, I mean, I've had conversations with people who ask me what I do, and I tell them I'm a ballerina, and they don't understand that it's a full-time job. I mean, sometimes they have a hard time grasping what they think, that you just do a show and here and there, or they don't understand what it is. So when you go behind the scenes, one thing that I just really love to show people is that we are breaking our bodies and our backs and our minds every day within the studio. It's hard, hard work, rehearsing 5 different ballets at a time, maintaining your studio life, but then also having to get physical therapy and massage and doing all of your gym work to support the muscles that, you know, that you need, that sometimes don't get tended to, that will, if you don't take care of them, you will get injured. Rehearsing all day, having a break, then having to do a show. The little sides of people that you don't see in rehearsals, like when, if you just are in a rehearsal studio and you look around the room and you watch different people on a break or between sections, or when they're picking up choreography, it's so interesting to see the difference from one person to another, how they handle learning choreography, how they handle being in the studio all day, how funny people are. Because at the end of the day, this is such a high pressure job. It's such, you know, your mind is always at work. And even when you come home, it's hard to switch off. That I think it's really a great thing. And I think you understand this as well, to find the humor in the little things to break some sort of tension and to have that release. people are so, so funny. We fall over, we laugh, we are talking to each other on stage. That's something that people don't realize, that we can be in the middle of a show and having like silent conversations on stage. There are all these little things that people don't understand or don't know, and that unfortunately they'll see it, you know, they'll see dance movies that sometimes really portray very dramatic, stereotype version of the dance world that's backstabbing and mean and so, so oppressive, but it's not like that. And I think that's why on social media, that's one of the things that I really love to show people are the behind the scenes, the behind the stage views of our life. And to show that it's not at all glamorous. It's not at all perfection. We are always, you know, we're always kind of, we're normal people. And YouTube. And those are incredible ways for people to see just the amount of work as well that goes into one pas de deux, for example, or half of a pas de deux. You know, how many times you fall and how many grips you have to change and how many things you have to work on in order to get something looking stage ready, and how we will never be satisfied with what we, you know, with what we create, because that's just the nature of an artist and the nature of a dancer. But, as much insight as people can get into our lives, that's not when that curtain goes up. I think it's a great thing. I think it's a really good exposure. So
that is really, really well said. Thank you for sharing that. Really, really good. All right, I need to wrap this up. I need everybody to go follow Beatrice Dix-Brunel on Instagram and go see her perform in London as soon as the theaters reopen. Thank you for this today. It was so fun talking to you. I just adore you, truly.
Thank you. Thank you so much, James. I mean, right back at you. Keep it going, by the way. Keep those dances going, because I'm going to do them right there with you.
Please do. All right. Thanks so much, Beatrice. Bye.